Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter number 11. Let's get to spiritual things tonight. Luke chapter number 11. And let's look at prayer some more tonight. And I'll say this, as you're finding your place, if you hadn't yet, I know I said it last week, but prayer is one of the greatest privileges that we have as a Christian tonight, amen? And it really is. And anybody can read their Bible, and the Word of God will not return void. It will speak to anybody. But when it comes to praying, not just anybody can pray. And we talked about this where he said, our Father, we note that that is to the saved person tonight. It's the saved person that can pray. And I was thinking about this today. You know, prayer is one thing that is so easy to neglect if we're not careful. We find ourselves getting so wrapped up in our day. And I like to be a structured person. I like to know what my day's going to hold, what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it. And I used a handwritten planner for years. I use an electronic planner now just because it's easier to me. No matter where you're at, you can go right there on your phone and put it in your planner and see it for the next day or whenever. And a matter of fact, it's called structured is what it's called. And I like to be a structured person. But if we're not careful, we'll not structure prayer time into our day. We'll have our day planned out, and before we know it, our day has come and our day is gone. And we've not spent hardly any time in prayer, any time at all in prayer. And prayer is such a precious privilege that we have. We have the ability to talk to God in our prayer life. And, you know, you can pray anywhere, anytime. Brother Milton Taylor, which has preached for us before, Brother Milton Taylor said that some of his greatest prayer time is riding down the road. He's an evangelist. He travels a lot. He said, looking over that steering wheel, some of the greatest times I have in prayer. And, you know, he can't hardly hear. And, man, he's just such a precious man of God. He's the only one that can tell that joke about that retarded man and get away with it, that retarded ending. Y'all remember him telling that joke? And don't ask me to tell it because y'all crucify me if I told it. But it was so funny when he told it. But anyway, I've heard him tell it 100 times and I still laugh every time I hear him tell it. But anyway, we can pray anytime, but we find ourselves not praying. You know, riding down the road, a lot of times we waste a lot of time. Now, I know that we're going somewhere, but that's time that we could be talking to the Lord. If nobody's with me, now I'm not saying that I pray all the time going down the road, but if nobody's with me, a lot of times I'll pray out loud going down the road and talk to the Lord. But prayer is such a precious thing. I mentioned several different quotes last week, but I want to mention one of them to you again tonight. Max Lucado said this, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Boy, I sure am glad it's not in the way that I say it, but it's in the one that hears it tonight. And we began talking about the disciples last week asking God, or asking Jesus, he was God, manifested in the flesh, amen. John 1:1 talks about that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, amen. That's Jesus. So it is God, but they asked Jesus, said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I talked about how there was no other thing that I can find that they asked the Lord to teach them, but they did say, Lord, teach us to pray. And I said this last week, but let me mention it to you just briefly. And we began talking about the example of prayer that he gives them. Now, know what he says in verse number 2. And he said unto them, if ye pray, say. He said, when you pray. He just took that they was going to pray. He didn't say if you do it. It's just like fasting, in which we'll talk about that, may even talk about it next week. But he said when you fast. Not if you fast, but when you fast. And what he says here is when you pray, or when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed it be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now let's continue. We looked at this last week. We looked at the relationship to God in this example. We looked at the person to whom we pray, our Father, the person who can pray, our, which is dealing with the saved, and the perspective in the prayer, he's in heaven. Then we looked at the reverence for God in the example, the meaning of the reverence, how will be it, and then the moment of the reverence and how that we need to reverence God when we're praying. When we're praying, we're not just talking to anybody. We're talking to God. We're talking to the creator of the world. Then we talked about this, the rule of God in the example where he said, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. There's a submission to the will of God, that we submit our will to the will of God. And I know I said this last week, but I'll say it again tonight. Whenever I pray, I do a lot of times tell God what my will is for my life and what I would love to see God do. However, I always try my best to say, Father, but your will is best. And whatever your will is, then that's what we want, because his will and my will don't always line up with each other. And if his will and my will is not lining up with each other, then he's not going to hear me, because he said this, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth our prayer. If we ask anything according to his will. So we need to make sure the rule of God in the example is this. We're praying for the Lord's will to be done in this. I really believe in all of my heart that God will speak to us through his word. And if it's any major decision, now, I'm not going to ask God to give me a Bible verse to eat a bowl of Cheerios when I get home tonight. I'm not going to pray about eating a bowl of Cheerios when I get home tonight, good Lord willing, and the river don't rise, and Miss Leslie hadn't run out of Cheerios in the cupboard. When we get home tonight, John's going to eat a bowl of Cheerios with some almond milk before he goes to bed, all right? I'm not going to pray and say, God, Brother Ramsey, will you give me a verse to eat these Cheerios right here? This morning, we had devotions at the sheriff's office. Man, we had a good time. Brother Tim Burton done devotions this morning. And he taught on five tactics Satan will use to get you discouraged. Man, and I'm telling you, it was good. I don't know if any of y'all know Brother Tim Burton, but he's a great guy. And afterwards, we just kindly have this Monday or Wednesday morning tradition. We probably going to go get breakfast after. It's kind of like Sunday morning after church, you go eat lunch. Wednesday mornings after devotions, we go eat breakfast. And then after we go eat breakfast, we go to Grounded and get coffee. Everybody say amen for Grounded coffee. You hadn't been there, make sure you go by and see them. And you say, why do you promote them? Because I hope they tithe to our church. All right? And go by and see. Matter of fact, they got this pumpkin cream cold brew slap your mama thing that I'm telling you, it'll change your life if you'll go get you. Get a large with light ice, all right? And I'm telling you, it'll change your life. But this morning when we got done with devotions, I didn't pray, now, God, is it your will for me to go over here and get two egg scrambled whale and order a French fries? Yes, I eat French fries at breakfast and a side of bacon. No, I just went over there and got that. But what I'm saying, any major decision in my life, I'm going to buy a vehicle, I'm going to pray, God, is this your will? God, will you confirm? Will you let me know this is right? We need to pray for the will of God to be done on that. And, man, if you're going to buy a house especially, you better pray and make sure it's the Lord's will. If you're going to have children, you better pray and make sure it's God's will. Pray about those things, but in praying about it, the example that he gives us here is that we pray according to the will of God. Now, let me show you this. Number four tonight, this is where we'll pick up, and I'll give you a couple more right here, and then we'll be done with this part of it, the example of praying. Number four tonight, note this with me, the resources of God in the example. The resources of God in the example. Look at verse number three. He said, give us day by day our daily bread. Give us day by day our daily bread. Three important truths are tucked in this part of the prayer about the resources of God. And I want you to understand something right here. It is not our resources, it's God's resources. We can't do nothing on our own. Matter of fact, we can't even breathe on our own. You say, well, I'm breathing right now. Well, that's because the good Lord's allowing you to, putting breath in your lungs. And when He chooses to stop that, then you'll take a trip to the hospital, okay? You say, no, I won't. Well, then you'll take a trip to the morgue, all right? It's the Lord that puts that in us. Everything that we have tonight is a blessing from God. The clothes that we have on our back, the breath that we breathe, the food in the cupboard tonight or in the cabinet tonight or in the refrigerator, however you want to say it, all of that is a blessing from God tonight. And the resources of God in this example. Note three things about it. Note the favor that is here. Note the favor. He says, give us this day, or he said, give us day by day our daily bread. Our blessings come from God, not by merit, but by mercy. Our blessings come from God. God must give us what we have today. You say, well, I went to work today and I earned the money that I have that bought the vehicle that I drive. Well, who give you the ability to be able to go to work today? Who give you the knowledge to be able to do what you do? It all comes from God, and it is the favor of God. Amen. Well, we can take out recess right here and just preach about our and shout the house down if we know what we ought to do. It's all from the merciful hand of a holy God. And I remember as a boy growing up at Turner's Creek, we had camp meeting every year. And the Adams family, I always thought about the Adams family, da-da-da-da. Y'all be singing that the rest of the night now. But the Adams family from Louisiana, Brother Matt, you remember them. They would come and sing, and they would sing that song, He Loves Me Like I Am His Only Child. I don't know if you've ever heard that song. If you hadn't, you ought to go home and listen to it. But He loves me like I am His only child. And what they were saying is this, we are spoiled by God. It's the favor of God, the resources of God. In this example, there's favor, but watch this. Then there's faith. What does it say? Give us day by day our daily bread. It is not a request for a year's supply, but a daily supply. Not a year, but a daily supply. This requires faith for each day. Faith for each day. And that word faith, you've heard many people say it this way. I guess Brother Sammy Allen was the one that kind of cloned this, was forsake all, I trust Him. We've got to have faith in our prayer. Do we really believe that God will answer? I did this illustration many times. I remember when Brother Chris Danley was coming here. He's one of the preachers out of our church, pastors over in Dobson now. I remember Brother Chris was coming here. Every time we took prayer requests, he'd say, pray that God save my brother. Pray that God save my brother. We'd go to prayer room, pray that God save my brother. We'd have all-night prayer meetings, pray God save my brother. He'd go with me to meetings, places, pray God save. He told everybody, pray that God save my brother. And we come in one day, and I said, anybody got any prayer requests? We was in prayer room. Brother Chris said, I got a praise report. And I said, okay. He said, I want to thank God for saving my brother. And I said, well, hallelujah, Brother Chris. When did it happen? He said, it hadn't yet. And I thought, boy, that's a big statement. Now, don't look at me like that. You're thinking the same thing in your mind right now. And I said, well, praise God, Brother Chris. We'll continue praying for it. He said, well, I'm just thanking God for it. And I thought, amen. I'm just being honest, Brother Josh. I didn't have the faith that he had Forgive me for that. Condemn me for that. Whatever. I just didn't. About 2 weeks went by, and one Sunday night, Brother Chris started to leave the church, and he come running back in. He said, "Preacher, guess what?" I said, "What?" I thought he'd seen a big deer out in the parking lot or something. He said, "It happened." I said, "What happened?" He said, "I knew he was going to. I went ahead and thanked God for it." I said, "Well, tell me what happened so I can thank God for it too." He said, "My brother went to Mining Ridge." That's when Mater was pastoring Mining Ridge. He said, "After service tonight, he got Mater and pulled him to the side." He said, "My brother just got saved." He said, "I told you it was going to happen. I went ahead and praised God for it." Our faith tonight. Our faith tonight. He was saying, "Hey, God, by faith, I'm trusting you to give me day by day what I need." But watch this. The favor, the resource of God in the example. We see the favor. We see the faith. But then watch this. Look at the food. Look at the food. Give us day by day our daily bread. Our daily bread. This speaks of our needs and not our want. He didn't say anything about his wants there. He is simply saying the needs that we have to sustain life itself, that's what we need. You know, so many times in our prayers, and I'm going to need somebody to give me an amen right here. So many times in our prayers, Brother Aaron, we fill them with our wants and not our true needs. Lord, I sure would love to have a brand new vehicle. When in all honesty, the one that we got's getting us there, okay? Not saying there's anything wrong with the new one, okay? He's talking about the food right here. He's talking about our needs in our life. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." All of the needs that we have in our life, "but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." Philippians 4:19. He's promised to take care of our needs. Now, I sure am thankful that he also gives us some wants along the way. Are you with me right there? He gives us some wants along the way. Somebody say amen right there. Matter of fact, the other day, I didn't need another muzzleloader, but Brother Rodney sent me a message, and he said, "It's just a deal you can't pass up." And you know, I mean, the deacon was just trying to take care of his pastor. I don't even know that my wife knows it's in the safe. But anyway, I just got in trouble right then, Jacob. He allows us to have some of our wants along the way. But what he's guaranteed is to meet our need. The resource of God and the example. Let's go on now to verse number 4. "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Number 5, look at the repentance to God in the example. He said, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." Think about this, the importance of forgiveness. The importance of forgiveness. He said, "Forgive us." Our greatest need is forgiveness. We need forgiveness of our sins for salvation, for fellowship also, and in order to pray. We've got to have a clean, you'll hear the old timer say it this way, a clean path into the throne room of grace for God to hear us. The importance of our forgiveness, the repentance of God in this example, or repentance to God in this example, is that we must go to Him with a clean heart. He said, "God, forgive us for what we've done wrong." I thought about what the Bible said in Psalm 66:18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer." And I want to say something to you tonight. The Lord will not hear me. And I thought about this. It don't say nothing. The psalmist didn't say anything else about anybody else right there. You know, a lot of times when we go to God in prayer, we want to tell Him everything else about everybody else and everything they've done wrong. Are you with me? But He said, "If I regard iniquity." You see, prayer is something that's very personal. You say, "Well, preacher, you know, I don't know that I've sinned since the last time I've prayed." Well, you probably have. I'm just being bluntly honest. What goes through our mind? If we was all really honest within ourselves, We probably don't want to talk about every thought that's went through our mind since we've been on these grounds right here. Those thoughts that enter our mind, if they're not thoughts of God, church, that's sin. That's sin. There's a difference in sinning and willfully sinning, but it's still sin. Y'all have heard me give this illustration before. I remember I hadn't been preaching no time. My grandpa Barker, that preached for years and years and years and years, and then some more years, said, I can't tell you the last time that I willfully sinned. And I thought, well, I know you sin. I mean, I know you a man of God, and if there's ever been anybody that could pray, Olin Barker could pray. Do you remember Pa Barker? You probably just a little bit. Well, I'm telling you, he could pray the roof off of a church. My grandpa, man, I remember getting they just go in the bedroom and pray. Him and Uncle Jerry and Uncle Larry then. Do you remember Uncle Larry? And Uncle Larry and my dad and Aaron and Andy and boy, they'd get to praying, and I thought, my goodness, they're talking directly to God. I mean, where's he at? He's got to be sitting here. And I thought, I know you're a praying man, but to say you've never willfully sinned, or you can't remember the last time you willfully sinned. So I went home, and I got to thinking about what he said. I didn't rebuke him. And I got to thinking about what he said, and I got to studying what he was saying. Here's what he was saying, Brother Aaron. I can't remember the last time that I just went out and indulged in sin just to be indulging in sin. We all miss the mark every day of our life. And the reason we must ask for forgiveness, because if there's anything in our life that's not right, church, God's not going to hear our prayers. If you've got the wrong spirit towards me or somebody else in the church, you see, a lot of times we want to classify sin. Well, I didn't go get drunk last night. Well, I didn't either. I'm not planning on it tonight or tomorrow night or ever. But that don't mean that I don't sin. We classify sin. No, sin, sin. And if I looked at a lady the wrong way today, then Brother Gray, I've sinned. Now somebody say amen. Don't die on me. If there's somebody in here tonight that I've got the least bit of ought towards, then guess what? I've got sin in my life. I've got sin in my life. You've heard me tell this story before, but I'll never forget, and I'm going to get done. Oh, it's just 7:39. Man, we got a long time. I might tell three stories and five more jokes. Brother Ramsey said, bless him, Lord. Keep him off them jokes. But I'll never forget. We had... Somebody get us a bug man up here. Anyway... That ain't as bad as what Brother Brian had today. Brother Brian was sitting in his office today, and the lady came in and handed him some papers and a paper to sign and said, well, that scared me, that snake sitting back there. And Brother Brian looked over his shoulder, and he said, that's not fake. And right there over his shoulder was a snake right there. Yep, right there. Thank goodness for a good CEO that got it out for you, though, isn't it, Brother Brian? That was just a stink bug. If it had been a snake, we'd have canceled service in the pulpit. It had a hole in it. Say, from what? From my Second Amendment. But anyway, you say, do you carry while you preach? Look at some of y'all. What do you think? What am I talking about? I remember I hadn't been pastoring here long. Leslie and I just moved up here. And the church was growing, and one Sunday morning, I came up to the church early, as I always do since we lived here. And I came up to the church early, and I was studying. And matter of fact, then... my office was shared with the church office, and it's actually where the, over on the side, if you're looking in the building, over on the side, on this side, there used to be a room there, and there was the office. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about before everything was changed over there. And Leslie called me. I said, hello. She said, you need to get home now. And I said, I ain't got time to come home. I got to study and preach, honey. I teach Sunday school. And I said, I don't have time to come home. You need to come home right now. And I said,
Last time I checked, I was the husband. I was the man. No, I didn't say that. Boy, it sounded good, though, didn't it? I said, honey, I'm not coming home right now. I said, I've got to study. I've got to get ready to pray. She said, there's a mouse in the basement, and you need to come home right now. So I just hung up the phone. I walked down the hill. I throwed the door open to the house. I went in. I got it. I throwed it out the back. And I said, there, are you happy? Now I'm going to go back, and I'm going to study, and I'm going to get ready to feed the sheep when they come to church today. I walked back up a hill. I was the husband of that house. I sat down in my office, Brother Jonathan. And I said, now, Lord, I need you to help me this morning. Lord wasn't nowhere around. I said, if you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. I said, Brother Tim's been there before. Y'all had a mouse too, didn't you, Brother Tim? I said, Lord, I really need your help today. He said, you walk right back down there to the house and apologize to your wife for the way you talked to her, and we'll think about it. I mean, it wasn't an audible voice. It was louder. Y'all know what I'm saying, don't you, Brother Ramsey? He said, you go make things right with your wife. I said, Lord. He said, John. I said, okay. I walked back down there. Brother Mark, I pushed the door. Sorry! Closed the door back. Started back up a hill, and he said, John. I turned around. I walked back in. I said, hey, I'm sorry. Boy, that's hard, ain't it? Say amen, Brother D.C. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have acted that way. If you will, forgive me. Now, whether she forgave me or not, that's between her and God. I had done what I still think she's a little bitter over it. Y'all pray for her. I had done what God asked me to do. Are you with me? Sin's got to be out of our life. In church, it's not just adultery or fornication or drinking or doping or this or that. No, it's sin. I didn't treat my wife like I was supposed to. I'm supposed to love her as Christ loved the church. You're supposed to be submissive to your husband. Somebody said amen right there. We're supposed to love you as Christ loved the church. Come to the couples retreat and we'll talk more about that. But watch this. Our sin, it's got to be out of our life. It's got to be out of our life. So there's the importance of forgiveness, but then there's the imperative of forgiveness. We also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. So in other words, what that means is simply this. When somebody comes to you and says, I'm sorry, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to accept it and forgive them. It's not just you forgiving. It's not just God forgiving you. It's you forgiving others also. It's you. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't forgiving them. We'll never forget it. We're not God. It'll always be in the back of our mind. Are you with me? It don't mean that I have to be best friends with them. It don't mean if they done me wrong and cut me to the heart that I have to go eat a meal with them. But I'm supposed to forgive them, be able to shake their hand or hug their neck. Amen. The repentance to God in the example. One last thing. The righteousness of God in the example. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Watch this. Direct us. Lead us not into temptation. I want to say this to you. We need God to direct us. He said, and I dealt with this Sunday, he said that with every temptation, He will make a way of escape. With every temptation that you face, God has a way of escape. I don't have time to preach all this, but you look throughout the Bible. Even Peter was tempted to disobey God, and Peter was tempted to deny the Lord. And he did three times and cursed. But Peter was given a way of escape. You know what it was? Jesus looked at him and said, don't follow me to Calvary. Peter went against the words of Christ when he followed him to Calvary. Why did he tell him that? Because Christ knew he couldn't take what was fixing to happen. And he had even said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I prayed for thee. I prayed for thee. But it was still... I'm going to have to move off this or I'll be here all night. It was still Simon or Peter's choice what he done. It was still man has a free will. Why did Eve mess up? Why did Adam mess up? Here's the reason why. God gives man a choice. God's not going to make you serve Him. God's not going to make you get saved. God, hey, look, God allows you to make the choice. And Peter chose to go against what Jesus said for him to do. That's the reason he made. David, the servant said, "Whoa, David, is this not Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? You've heard me preach it. Samson was one." Boy, on and on we could go throughout the Bible. On and on we could go. But it comes down to man's free will. That's the reason we need to pray daily. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Direct us, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. I want to say this. This does not refer to the trials, but to transgressions. This is not a prayer to keep from suffering, but to keep from sinning. We need to pray more about our character than about our circumstances. Trials is going to come. Madeline, will you come start playing softly? Trials is going to come. Heartaches is going to come. Tough days are going to come. That's just, I talked to a pastor this afternoon. And he hadn't been pastor in no time at all. And he was already down in the dumps. And I said, Hoss, if you already discouraged, I say no time at all. I'm talking about just a month or two. He was already, man, what do you do about this? And what do you do? I just kind of laughed. I said, dude, wait, you've been there 17 years. Are you with me? You just got to determine by the grace of God, you're just going to keep on going. Amen? I'm not here for you. I'm here for Him. Hard days are going to come. And He's not saying, lead us not into hard days. It is a temptation. And God does not tempt us. Are you with me? It's not a temptation to sin. You say, but God tempted Abraham. You study that out. It was not a temptation to sin. It was a testing. It's two completely different words whenever you study it out in the Hebrew and the Greek. That's a whole other message. What we need to pray is, and can I tell you something? God's not going to lead us into temptation, but every day we will be tempted by Satan. So in our prayers every day, I try to pray this every morning. God, as I go today, may others see You through me. Let me be a light to others. 90% probably of the people, probably, I bet it's more than that. I bet 97% of the people that I cross paths with today will not pick up a Bible and read it. They hadn't touched their Bible today. But 100% of them saw my life. Do you hear what I just said? Probably 90%. And I crossed paths with a bunch of people today in different places. Wednesdays is always a busy day for me. And you know what? Probably 97, 98% of them, Brother Ted, didn't pick up a Bible and read it today. But 100% of them, Brother Brian, read my life. And we need to pray every day, God, help me to walk right. God, help me to talk right. God, help me to live right. I was talking to Brother Matt here recently about a situation. And he said, you know, preacher, he said, I've done it like this. He said, it's probably a whole lot more than I should have done, but I done it like this just so they couldn't say. Well, you know what? Old Matt Royal, it's a deacon over there at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, and he said, more than anything that professes to be a Christian, done this. I said, yeah, you done more than I would have done, Brother Matt. You know what he was saying? I want my testimony to be right. The way our testimony can be right, church, is this: Lord, help me. Did you catch that? Lord, help me. Don't pray for everybody else in your prayer life and forget about you. You said, preacher, do you pray for yourself? Why, yeah, I pray for myself. You say, well, why in the world? That's selfish. Why would you? Because I want to know somebody's praying for me. And if I'm praying for me, Brother Tim, I know somebody's praying for me. And I also know how much praying I need. I need the practice and I need the prayers. And you do too if you say amen. You're just honest with yourself. Father.